Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we, folks, we're still not back in our normal home inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we're still loving on Renaissance because they're still out there trying to help small business owners with all sorts of issues, and they do it in a personal way. So if you're tired of the big bank 1-800 experience with automated voices and phone trees and all sorts of ways to keep you from talking to a real live person, go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office, some 200 across the South, ready to serve you, and find that local office and give them a call. And what you'll find is a live person answers the phone, and they'll be glad to make an appointment and have you come in and they can talk to you about whether they can serve you. And what I find with my clients and my situation is that they're big enough to be have all the services that you need, small enough to be personal. So check out Renaissance Bank. Go to renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Lance Knight. And Lance is with ConnectAll. Lance, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, it's great, great to have you. Let's talk about you and ConnectAll. How are you serving folks out there?
We serve people in a lot of different ways, but mostly we offer software that helps you become more efficient at developing and putting software together for your customers.
Short and punchy, but I know there's a whole lot to that. Right? So you're in value stream management. Talk about what value stream management is.
So value stream management is a human endeavor. We call it a human endeavor, where you can look at the methods and processes of the way that you're developing software, all the way from the initiation of the project or the product, all the way into where you have code in front of your customers, either in a SaaS or on-prem model. And you can look at that and figure out how to be more efficient, how to use systems thinking, lean principles, and value stream management really is about being able to see, measure, and automate your SOC delivery processes and methodologies that you use, whether those are agile or DevOps or different terms that you use to develop software with. And ConnectAll helps you see, measure, and automate. That's what the humans do. And now what ConnectAll is software that helps you do all that.
Mm. That is identification part of the, I guess, identification of particular processes that you can rationalize. Is that something that's, I assume, made much, much easier by software as opposed to humans trying to do that?
It is. We give you the metrics. Mm-hmm. To show you where in the identification, the human still got to do the action, right? And mm-hmm. take it's very much a human thing. And these are age old principles what we're teaching at ConnectAll that I learned, a decade or two ago in manufacturing. But the software allows you to do the seeing, measuring, and automating part, where you can go and see. And then with ConnectAll, I can say, I've got this tool and these communicate with that tool. And so let me hook those up. Now I've automated that process, right? But until you can see work and then measure it, you don't know what to do. And ConnectAll lets you do all of those. Software, developing software is interesting, right? If you go off to a manufacturing facility and you walk out on a shop floor, a place where I spent a lot of my days, you can see the flow of material and the flow of work. And you can figure out how to improve things. That's not the same in software. It's all in the Ethernet, in the cloud. It's all in ones and zeros. Mm. And that work effort and the material you're creating isn't. So you have to be able to see how the work is flowing. Now, a lot of times it flows between the things you're using to develop software with, the tools that you use. But that's what we do. We allow companies to see, measure, and automate. We train people on how to look for bottlenecks to be more efficient. And in today's digital age, where everybody's transforming to a more digital society, it's becoming more and more important. Where everybody is working from home today and everybody wants to self-serve their business experience, whether that's your employees, your partners, your customers, nobody wants to be face-to-face anymore, right? I think that's going to continue. And Connectl's helping companies make that transformation by being more efficient. It's, you know, some of the smaller companies, I think it's harder to compete unless you know how to get software development done for you and how to get it worked all forward. So that's what we do at Connectl. We help companies see, measure, and automate their software delivery value stream. Mm.
Talk about, maybe you could give a success story that you're particularly proud of. And you don't have to use names, of course, but a success story you're particularly proud of that illustrates the success you're able to bring to a client.
Yeah, so there's a number of different success stories that we have from airlines. We were talking about a couple airlines we work with overseas. There's a number of different financial institutions that we work with that use our products, right? Mm-hmm. And financial institutions, I think, are ahead of the curve here because they've been moving away from this, human touch environment, which we all don't like, of course, right?
Mm-hmm, so, sure.
You're only as good as the last mobile app that lets you deposit checks or do whatever and give your information, but there's a lot more risk there. So there's more audit and compliance. So there's some success stories there. So one of the companies that I worked with was a bank. I won't say the name, of course. They had all these steps of the way that they did things. Just like everybody has a method or process, right, to do something. That's your value stream in a way, right? Mm-hmm. So what they were doing is they were saving all of their defects, holding a meeting weekly to get feedback back to development. It would happen in this weekly cycle. And that created issues of working on defects and working on code that they wanted to get in production that already had defects. So it'd hold off in giving all the defects they found for a whole week till they had a meeting and then put them back to development. So what we said is no, you should send them back immediately to development so you get real-time feedback. And then you're moving forward quickly and iteratively to move your stuff to production. And at the same time, you should automate the tools. So that was a human fix in method and process, but it was also a tooling fix where the tools communicated. It was easy to send them back. Nobody had to reduplicate effort. So that's one example. We just did a whole webinar. If anybody wants to see it, it's out there. It's there on Connectl's website on fixing Santa's broken value stream. Oh. So we spent some time with Santa Claus at the North Pole. We realized that his wait time between stages was too long. And we looked at that and basically what Santa was doing was not getting enough delivery out or not getting the bugs fixed soon enough so that his naughty and nice list was accurate. Mm. So what was happening is anybody in November and December, even maybe they were nice a little bit during those months, they're automatically on the naughty list. So we helped them with real-time iteration development and getting code into production so that people would make the nice list if they were nice in November and December. So that was a great fun webinar that I did with our product manager.
I love it. And timely advice for dear old Santa as we record this show for sure. Folks, Lance Knight,
I was still on the naughty list.
Even though you tried to provide advice, it didn't help your status, huh? So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. I don't think it would help mine either, Lance. But, folks, Lance Knight is with us and he's with Connectl. Lance, if I'm a company that has the problems you address, how do I know I've got the problem? I mean, what are some of the symptoms I need to look for in my own processes or you know, my output, right? How I serve customers that says, hey, I've got a problem.
Well, there's of course, there's metrics. There's mm-hmm. leading metrics. We provide those as well. And sometimes it's a gut feel of knowing that you need to move with the market, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's like, hey, if I don't get faster at this, somebody else is, and I'm going to lose my market share. You know, going back to banks, what are their big things? Depositors, loans. So if somebody can't deposit from their phone or they're getting a better mobile experience from somewhere else, they may move, that depositor may move to this other place, right? You know, I miss the days where you go into a branch, you talk to the people there. You've known them for 30 years, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I've lived here in the Atlanta, Georgia coming area for 15 years. I know the people at the bank I use. They walk in, hey, Lance, how are you? I prefer that, but that's not where the world is, right? They sure. want the mobile experience, be able to pay my bills online and do all that. And if I'm not shifting quick enough, I'm not going to keep up with the companies that are doing that. Like the smaller businesses that are taking advantage of software lets them fulfill orders and deliver, right? Where would we be if we didn't have that for them now? Mm. So sometimes it's that gut feel. Then you can look at metrics, right? So how many code updates am I fixing? How many releases are I doing? Do these things fit to my desired outcome? And a lot of times you'll find a lot of the work that gets done in a software development doesn't necessarily in an iterative way align to what your outcome are, what you're trying to achieve. It's either fixing technical debt or it's fixing and repairing defects or doing those things, not necessarily aligning to your total business strategy and why you want those software. What are you going to do with it? So those are some of the visibility we give. And then there's a thing called leading and lagging metrics. So that's a long conversation, by the way, if we get too far down the metrics trail.
Okay.
Of what we look at and what people can look at. But there's metrics that matter to your business and they'll give you that indicators.
Well, let's get into leading metrics because I know that's important. That's an important subject. Maybe we can dip into that briefly. Mm-hmm.
So is that you asking me to dip into it?
Yeah, please. you're the one with the answers here, Lance, not me.
So leading metrics is an interesting thing. And this is more than just technology, right? This is business in general, right? Thinking about what metrics are really important to your business. Now, we're ending 2020, right? What a crazy year. I don't think dogs and cats slept together yet, but I think that may happen. But it's just been one of those years where, you know, you just couldn't plan for all the things that got in your way as you're driving forward. But you can plan and look at leading metrics. So if you have a particular goal, let's use an easy one is for sales, to understand sales goals, right? Those are numbers and facts and easy to understand. Let's say you want to do $1 million in revenue. Now we do, you know, that's just a number. Well, if I'm not tracking what I'm doing all the way up to that million with some key metrics, all I'm going to know at the end whether I hit that number or not. I'm not going to be able to change course, look at things. So if my outcome is that revenue target, what are the metrics I'm going to look at daily, monthly, weekly to make sure that I'm getting to that? Is that salespeople activity? Is that market conditions? What are the things I want to look at to make sure that I can pivot and steer to make sure I still get that goal? And some of the most successful people I know use leading metrics to drive their business. I use leading metrics all kinds of places here at ConnectAll, from my marketing metrics to my sales metrics, to all different types of metrics that I look at, see if we can pivot and do things. If you're not doing that, you're not going to be able to do it. For an example I can use internally is we were doing some pay-per-click advertisement and it wasn't working. It wasn't working. We could tell that. So we made some changes, some shifts. We went and we failed a little bit here and there, right? But we learned from that. And now we're doing really great with our pay-per-click campaigns. Mm. But if I had waited to say, hey, let's do pay-per-click. And somebody went and did it. And I realized I just spent a bunch of money to hit my goals. I would have never been successful at it. So those are leading metrics. It could be anything in any business. It depends on the company, right? Sales has some specific metrics. Like I look at how many presentations did we do compared to my pipeline and things like that, which of course makes my salespeople a little crazy. But those are things you got to look at to pivot, right? Maybe I have too many leads coming in that we can't manage and I'm falling apart. That means I got to hire a salesperson, of which I am. But the point is that, right? It's looking at those leading things to your business and breaking them down. If you're a restaurant, those could be, you know, other types of metrics as well. If I set a goal of I want to do this much takeout compared to that much dine-in, and then that got shifted, right? Now I can take a look at that. How do I going to pivot my organization? But yet still, I'm going to get to my goal because I'm managing the weekly metrics or the daily metrics to hit my goal. I can run a special to try to get my goal, or I can do, you know, but if you wait till the end, all you know, you didn't hit the goal.
Right.
So those are leading metrics and they can be a whole bunch of stuff. I prefer those compared to lagging metrics because lagging metrics are telling me where I'm going wrong, where leading metrics I can use to figure out where I want to go with.
And yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the question of change because leading metrics can change, mm-hmm. right? And that's so talk about how you deal with that and you change as those leading metrics need to change.
Well, organizationally, the bigger challenge is capturing the information for the metric, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when a shift hits, you need to change your outcome that you're going after, right? And then change the metrics to manage toward it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, one of the things that's going on this year, what's really interesting, I've said this, is how, and I wrote an article that's in Forbes on this particular topic, and that is how to manage exceptions. Because as leaders, that's what we do. We manage exceptions and look for them, right? When everything's an exception. Mm. When an employee calls you up on the phone and says, hey, I got to take some time off. I'm driving my car east, so I'm out of the smoke and my family can breathe. Mm. How do you manage that exception, right? Mm. Where that person, of course, needs to do it. So, or half your team is down sick with COVID or whatever that is. It seems like this has been the year of everything moving and always these exceptions, right? Mm-hmm. You just manage through them. You don't manage time and place. You manage your outcomes, right? And everybody gets in and helps everybody. That's also very key, right? Mm-hmm. So when a shift happens, you acknowledge that shift. You create your new outcomes and then design the new metrics you want and then start tracking and make sure you get into that new outcome. I mean, we absolutely at the beginning of this year had a whole different set of outcomes we were going for. And those are a lot of more external financial outcomes, financial gains that we were expecting in revenue this year. And I tracked toward those, but I realized that we're going to go through this shift here. So we took that same mindset and looked at a bunch of internal outcomes that we could go after this year to position us for the next coming years to really take off, right? Because I'm saving money. I don't have to fly salespeople around.
Mm, yep.
Right. So we shifted internal. We did this at ConnectAll. And internally, we went in and worked twice as hard on coding our products and services and how they work. Rebranded our website, got into some of the lead analyst firms by managing those relationships and making that happen. And I may not have had the resources to do these based on my other outcomes I had set for the year. And this way I did. And we accomplished so much this year by doing that. My finances and our outcomes were still good financially. It was okay. Not great. Okay. Right. Right. Survivable. Immediate gain in revenue this year, which is phenomenal, I hear, for this year. But at the same time, we totally transformed the organization and set up new outcomes and new things, and new metrics to make sure we're getting to it. So it's about acknowledging it, understanding the outcome you want, reset the outcome, and then reset the metrics. and then go at it.
You know, Lance, one of the things that I always find interesting, I think in the business world, in a lot of cases, we've set up this binary that it's either data-oriented or people-oriented. And what you're describing is really something that breaks that down, is that data is used to can be used to manage people better and help people that want to have great outcomes create those outcomes.
Yeah, so that's the next article I just finished up. So everybody talks about managing business outcomes, right? And so I'm talking about it. Mm-hmm. If you look it up, everybody talks about the golden world of managing these outcomes, which it is. It's a lot of it makes sense. And the reason why you need to do it more today is because you can't manage time and place in the same way. Mm. Now, you know, I personally have been working from home for about 15 years and ran organizations doing that. But a lot of people don't understand this philosophy yet because they're used to everybody being in an office. And sometimes that's a preferred place. And sometimes I wish I was in an office every day and people would stop bothering me here at home, especially now that everybody's home more. But I'm able to isolate and set boundaries and rules and I'm good. But when you start to decompose that kind of problem and you start to think about managing outcomes, you can use the outcome and the leading metrics to understand. If you have an outcome, I can use sales because everybody gets sales, right? If I go too far into the technical stuff, but I don't know if everybody would get some of that, right? Mm-hmm. So in sales, I have a goal. My goal is to do $1 million, right? I have a couple reps. I can tell based upon what they're doing activities quarterly, whether they're getting to those to building that for their outcomes or maybe their personal outcomes, which is tied to mine. I can then go and say, all right, you are falling off track of your numbers. What's going on? And I can start to drill in and then look for the outputs. So if I'm not getting the outcome, look at the outputs of that individual. And I can work with either coach, change, help them in a different way, help them to succeed, and use my management team to do that as we look at those outcomes, right? And then sometimes maybe that means the conditions for that person's success doesn't exist at this organization. So you can actually see that if you're managing the outcome. And you can't do that time and place anymore, right? So the thoughts of managing people in hours and place and time doesn't work, right? So you got some people, like I have people on my team that have to make up a lot of the work during their day at night. Well, we got to let them do that. And if they're getting their outcomes with the interruptions that are going on during the day where they wouldn't get them, then we got to acknowledge that they're still being very successful, no matter when they got it. Sometimes people got to work early in the morning for 4 hours and whatever they got to do. You just don't manage them. You manage what their outcomes are. Right. So, you know, some of the best salespeople play golf at noon every day. So, you know, if they're selling. Anyway, the point is managing the outcome, not time and place. We just don't have that anymore. And I've said this for years. If you manage people in time at a place, you will get a person at a place through time, not necessarily your outcomes or what you're trying to achieve. So define your outcomes. Let the team know your expectations of where we're trying to go. And if somebody's fallen off track, you'll understand. You'll see it because you're doing your leading metrics.
You touched on a little bit of this, but I would love it if you would give, for those companies out there that all this is a little new, that they really haven't had remote employees, and then all of a sudden it's thrust upon them. It has been this year, and they're still struggling through that. What are some tips that you would give managers in those companies?
Well, time and place, right? Don't manage time and place. And when I interview, I say to people, if I need to know what you're doing Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I don't need you, right? You should be working toward that. With that goes a high level of autonomy. Trust your people are going to get to their outcomes, right? Know that most people, everybody I've worked with, most 90%, 99% want to do the right things, work hard, and want their autonomy and be accountable to the things that they're doing. So trust the people, trust them to, you know, if they have to work, start their job at 3 and work till midnight to get their goals, that's something we've got a lot for, especially now with all the interruptions, right? Don't worry about so much time and place and punching the clock like you used to. This is easier for my business, right? I work in software. We define our goals. It's called sprints. These are the tasks we want you to do in these 2 weeks, and then we need you to get those done. And this relates to these points. It's easier. It's a little tougher when you get to other industries where you do need to make sure people are at their desk, you know, ready to support and do all that. But be flexible because of the things that are going on these days. And don't manage time and place so much. If somebody's 2 minutes late, don't have a fit about it. Right? Give them some accountability. Give them the permission to make the decisions. Right? If somebody makes the wrong decision, it's all right. You'll survive. And then we'll learn from it. And next time we'll make the right one. So that's just some small tips, right? Don't manage time and place so hard. Let people make decisions, give autonomy, and hold people accountable to the outcome.
Good words here from Lance Knight, and Lance is with ConnectAll. Lance, this has been great, but before we go, I wish you would summarize. Just talk about ConnectAll and how you differ from other value stream management companies. I mean, what makes you stand out?
So this is an interesting question because from a tooling perspective, we stand out in a lot of ways from a technology perspective, from the features and functions of what we do. We stand out in a lot of ways there. Like we can orchestrate and do a bunch of things. But the number one place where we stand out is we acknowledge this one hard fact. Value stream management is a human endeavor. Humans do the analysis. Humans go out and do the assessments. Machines and tools are there to help us be more efficient. So the number one thing is we're all about helping humans understand the space, helping them become better at value stream assessments. And we offer free value stream assessments for software delivery. That's a 2-hour thing. And we just ask a whole bunch of questions and give you findings and recommendations and impacts. And that's gratis, complimentary. But that's the biggest thing is because we're acknowledging that I can make the best value stream management solution there is with all the AI and the machine learning and so on. But no machine is going to go tell a bunch of testers that they should send their feedback quicker. The humans are going to do that. So we're all about that, providing the best solution so that we can, so that you are empowered to help your organization deliver software quicker. That's our biggest differentiator.
Love it. This, Lance, this has been great. And folks, we're going to, the Forbes article that Lance mentioned that he authored, we're going to put a link to that in the show notes so you can check that out there. But also, Lance, we would, appreciate it for those that would like to be in touch, would like to learn more about you and ConnectAll. How can they do that?
So there's ConnectAll.com, of course. If you're interested in the products we talked about, that's sales@ConnectAll.com. We'll get somebody right in touch with you. If you just want to rap with me about time and place, that article, all of that, I'm LKnight@ConnectAll.com and be happy to talk to anybody.
Awesome. Great. Great work. Congratulations on your success, and look forward to having you back sometime soon. Lance Knight has been with us, folks, with ConnectAll. Lance, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got, speaking in time and place, if you're spending way too much time sitting at your desk doing administrative tasks in your business and you need to get an angel to fly in to help you, I've got an answer. That involves calling Essie Escobedo, the chief executive angel over at Office Angels, and she can help identify the needs in your business, that the things that you need to get off your plate as a small business owner. She's been working virtually for 20 years, so they know how all this works. Give her a call. Explain your problem, 770-442-9246, and she sends in an angel to work on an ongoing or as-needed basis, whatever you need. Office Angels is the company, officeangels.us, if you're timid, but just give her a call and explain what your problem is, and she'll be glad to help you. And folks, just another quick reminder, North Fulton Business Radio is the search term to find us on all the major podcast apps. I won't mention all of them because we're on all the major ones, except the ones I can't pronounce. No, seriously, we're on there. Oh, we're on all of them, folks. So whatever you've got, Apple, Google, Stitcher, whatever, we're on them. North Fulton Business Radio. We'd love it if you'd give us a great review on any of those apps because it helps people find the show. And they may need the services of someone like Lance and Connectall or any of the other guests that we've had over the years, some 315 or so shows, I guess we've had now over the last 4 years. So we would love it if you would do that and connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So for my guest, Lance Knight, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.